The Sharpshooters, episode 28, December 21st, 2005. Welcome everybody to another jam-packed edition of the Sharpshooters Podcast. Marcus has the piss, but I'm Eric.
I'm Marcus, the Grand Finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters.
Is that it?
Oh, wait. Inches. I forgot what the rest of our catchphrase go. My bad.
What?
Wait, because after you say, I am Marcus, we are the Sharpshooters, and we do a podcast about wrestling. Is that it?
No, you just give out the information.
How about you give out the information this day?
Oh, on this day,
I see clearly
the board in the light.
All right, Marcus. While I take my pill.
Take your medication, man, because you're out of your mind.
Got that V on there, dog. I don't know if that's Vicodin or Viagra.
Watch out. Anyway, you can contact us at our website is TheSharpshooters@blogspot.com. Our email address, TheSharpshooters@gmail.com. On the website, we would like for you to, do the Frapper Map, leave comments and suggestions with email, and what else can you do? We don't have a poll.
No, we don't.
We should get a poll, man.
Well, maybe when I feel like it.
You can just type up one.
After the new year, we'll have a poll. I'm sick, man. I'm trying to get over this cold. All right. So, did you give our email address, thesharpshooters@gmail.com?
I think I gave out all the important information at this current time.
Now, Marius, before we get into the little bit of news, because it's been a slow week in news, do you want to respond to some email?
Oh, yeah, we have fan mail.
All right.
Oh, yeah, it's a very short show, I think, today.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be a short show.
We have stand, and what else we got to do?
I'm going
to
drag out the Afghanistan report. But anyway, before we get into Marcus' email that he wants to discuss, I'm going to get to Floyd's email, because he had a question of how...
Don't we do the news before we do email?
You want to do the news first?
We always do the news before.
Well, we got two stories.
We always do the news
first. Let's do the news first then. I'm very disoriented. The first news story is Ted DiBiase passed out in Stamford, Connecticut, in WWE headquarters. He was held in a hospital overnight. And is said to be feeling a lot better. We're glad to see that Ted is feeling better. We'll be glad when he's back on TV, probably with his son.
Back on TV?
Yeah, he's going to manage his sons whenever they come back up.
Whenever they come up?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be nice. Like the old Bob Orton Jr. thing. Huh?
Yeah, the daddy. Because I want to say, Bob Orton is one of the best managers in WWE right now.
He's the only manager in WWE right now. Jillian Hall don't count because she doesn't interfere. Charmelle's doing a hell of a job with Booker T.
Okay. I can give you another one.
Who?
Melina.
Oh, yes, Melina. But she's failed recently. She's faltered with the Dave situation.
Hold on. I think I can give you one more.
Who? Paul Bearer's dead.
Give me a minute.
Oh, aren't we going to have the Armageddon recap?
Yeah, just to recap. Well, you watched it. I didn't watch it. I can give the results, and then you can say what you thought of the match.
I can elaborate on it.
I saw a couple of matches.
Anyway, can't think of another manager, Kenji.
Gail Kim.
What about James Mitchell?
Okay. That's enough, Ted DiBiase. We hope you get better.
Yeah, because he's one of like the favorite, great, one of my favorite wrestling characters of all time.
Exactly. Also, now, for all you, Omar, Marcus, there could be a reason why Shelton Benjamin has been losing.
I read this.
Shelton Benjamin is reportedly being punished for being rude to a veteran road agent. According to the Torch newsletter, it describes his behavior as being a blatant, negative, and disrespectful attitude shown toward at least one veteran road agent. Why is Doc being a bitch?
So, Doc is a road agent?
Yeah, he's a road agent. I don't know if it's Doc.
I don't even really know what a road agent really does.
Road agent. Sergeant Slaughter, I believe, is a road agent.
What do they do?
They just help coordinate stuff, make sure that they have their roles and all that stuff and things like that.
They make sure they have everything working.
So, the list that he could be rude to. Sergeant Slaughter, don't think so. Arn Anderson, don't think so. Doc Hendricks, I don't think so.
Dean Malenko?
Dean Malenko, maybe. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out who could he be really being an a-hole with.
I'm going to say Doc. Doc was a little angry that time when Edge came out. And he was like, what is wrong with you kids today?
But you know what's wrong Shelton with... Benjamin. But you know how Edge should have responded to Doc when he asked what was wrong with the kids today? Mm. He should have been like, on this day,
I see clearly. Man, the world that wine is beer is better than wine. Or whatever he says in that song. He needs new music,
so I'll put it this way. It was an extremely slow week in news. It was a couple of other stories out there.
Chris Hemsworth was released.
Yeah. They announced the release reason. They say because of money. Some people think she slept with Triple H. Has some type of interaction with Triple H. Because
she was always hanging around Batista and Triple H when she was on Raw or something. Apparently, they was all traveling together.
Whatever.
And Stephanie is mad at her, and she may have fired her.
Okay. Also, Tajiri wants to work for a baseball team in Japan to be a writer. Then about Eugene might not be back because apparently when his rehab is over, his contract is over also.
There are times for Eugene. You know, with a wrestler, something go wrong for a wrestler. It just gets worse and worse, it seems like.
Apparently only Samoa Joe has a 1-year contract with TNA and supposedly they're pussyfooting around.
They better stop.
Trying to sign him.
I tell you this, Vince McMahon's probably looking at Samoa Joe every week on Impact and saying, that guy can do something in my wrestling. Because Vince McMahon does like big guys like that. And Samoa Joe has a lot of athleticism.
I have a question for you, Marcus.
Yeah.
Has Samoa Joe ever talked?
You know, I don't know. Yeah, I think when he was beating up AJ, I don't think he ever talked on the mic and like, Samoa Joe. But maybe if we ever watched Turning Point that time.
I still have the footage.
We haven't even watched the match. One day I'll get to it.
Now, it's time. Is that enough news? Any announcements? You ready for your fan mail?
Yeah. All right. Fan mail indeed.
Let me retract my thoughts. Floyd emailed us. He wanted to know how did we watch the shows. Well, for me, I'll talk about me, and then Marcus can talk how he watched the shows. Mm-hmm. Monday Night Raw, I watched live. Marcus, don't you watch that live with me sometime?
I watch it live now.
Not in school. All right. As for SmackDown, it's an iffy. I prefer to watch it on a TiVo so I can fast forward commercials and also some segments that I don't need to see.
And I'm obligated to watch it on TiVo because it doesn't fit my schedule anymore.
Yes. And then also for TNA, pretty much I watch it before we record this show on Wednesday.
This Wednesday? Yes, today is Wednesday.
And Marcus watches it with Ryan on Saturday.
He's known as the Boo Boo Bear.
Yeah, it don't matter what he's known as. That contest went under. No one cares
about
it.
It was not a contest. He's just gone. He fell under. He fell off.
We didn't let him out of his room when we had our Monster Ball match.
Yep.
So, Floyd, that's how we watch it. It's like, it's iffy. I kind of like the live version, but then I don't mind TiVo.
Yeah, because some stuff, so the commercials you just want to fast forward.
And then watching it on TV also helps us kind of put together the show a little bit better.
Yeah, because you don't delete it this time.
Shut up.
Last week, man, what were you doing?
The TNA is the C show. Come on. Huh? It's the C show.
TNA? It's not the C show.
It's the C show. SmackDown is the B show.
No.
Which one are you watching, SmackDown or TNA?
If I have a chance?
If you have, you have to make the choice.
Do I get to pick the cards? Or?
No. You go on just strictly off. It's Friday night, TNA, SmackDown. You can't switch between the two. Oh,
man. That's tough, actually. Because I really like the X Division, but they have too many squash matches on Impact, so I think I gotta go SmackDown.
Thank you! Now!
It's not the B show!
Alright. Andre.
Your bias knows no bounds.
Andre.
Or maybe I should talk like this.
Andre, it's time for Andre.
This is awful. Andre, I'm hurt!
I just wanna let you know, Andre, or Dr. Dre in Colorado.
I'm a fan of Eric's.
One of my cats, Lamont, chopped the cigar alone. Send an email. I gotta see.
Yes, you do.
I gotta
see. Why?
No, I gotta.
This is why we get emails.
Hold on. Chocolate cigar. I got a See's Candy chocolate cigar from my supervisor today. So that's what that was.
It's supervisor.
Now let's get back into Andre's email. Mm-hmm. Send an email. He wants Marcus to come out the closet, and his New Year's resolution is for Marcus to get a job. Marcus, how do you respond to this email? I thought it was hilarious.
I found it actually hilarious because for the whole job part. But then the email goes a lot deeper into questioning my sexuality, which was known in the last episode of the Sharpshooters. Well, not known, but you know what I mean. Questioned throughout the show. Eric making references to Brokeback Mountain and everything else. I found it funny, but I was infuriated about the game. I am straight, people. I am all man, hear me roar.
You're all man,
hear me roar. That's like
or saying, do you all like all man, hear you roar?
That's all. Can you stop?
Okay.
I am a straight man.
Okay.
And right now, I am looking for employment because I'm independently employed working on contracts.
So if anybody, I ain't seen you work the one contract yet.
I do it for school. When I design some stuff that you don't even see, I turn it in.
Do you get paid?
A little bit. I get $5 sometimes. That's independently employed, brother. That's how you do it.
Okay. Enough about Margaret's life. You wanna,
that's awful.
If you want to email,
it's the holiday season. Where's your holiday cheer?
My holiday cheer is here. If you want to email us about Marcus' career opportunities and his sexual preference, please feel free to send an email at thesharpshooters@gmail.com.
Also, by the way, we would still like to have email for your favorite moments of 2005 because eventually we're going to recap it and.
I just want to say something, Marcus. Another segment that you suggested that just going down here real quick. I remember episode one. Let's do the friend promos where you cut a promo.
Friend promo, man. Never seen an audio comment.
I just want to say something. I suggested top five.
I suggested the top five. You was like, Marcus, we needed something for the show. Our show is too short. We're only 2-3 minutes. And I was like, let's fire Ryan. Let's throw in the top five.
So you try to take credit for firing Ryan in the top five?
I'm not trying. I think I just did.
If I was feeling better right now, I would slap the hell out of you. I would chop you. But I'm not feeling good right now.
Don't be putting
your
cigar.
So what we're gonna do is I'm gonna take this break. We're gonna come back. We're gonna discuss TNA Impact. Then we're gonna go to break again. We're gonna discuss WWE Armageddon. Then we're going to segue into Raw. After that, we're going to have closing comments, and that's the show. Tonight, by Andre's request, I will not be using music from the PodSafe Music Network.
You can't do that.
I have not found any.
You just don't look anymore, I think.
Well, you can look.
I could, but I choose not to.
Exactly.
Because I'm lazy, I think, when it comes
when
to
When we
that.
Get more listeners... And we get some popularity. Maybe that's when
I'm telling you I should compose a theme song. You know I'm musically. You know I'm the gift.
All right, you guys, we'll be back. When Marcus tried to sell me on him doing a theme song,
I got the voice, man.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Sharpshooters Podcast. I'm Eric Still.
And why are we saying this again?
I don't know.
Let's get to the report.
It's time for the TNA Impact Report for December 17th, 2005. I still have this question. Please send me an email at thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Do you guys really care about this TNA report? I know a few people who don't get TNA like it, but maybe that'll be my poll question for the new year.
What?
Do you care about the TNA report?
What do you mean?
I don't know.
You're trying to say our large fan base that watches TNA Impact Saturday night.
They might watch
at
it.
9 o'clock Pacific time?
I just don't think they care. It's not 9 o'clock Pacific time unless you got satellite. It's 11 o'clock Pacific time if you have cable.
Yeah.
Okay, Bentley Bounce.
I was trying to do the Monty Brown.
Only I can do the Monty Brown.
Only you have successfully done the Monty Brown. No, don't wipe your sweat on me. All right.
We've been digressing so much. Let's get back into the meat of the show. Show opens up. We are greeted by the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett, and he comes out and wants to talk to Mike Tenay about Sting coming to TNA.
This is how the show started?
This is how the show started.
This is where it started with Samoa.
No.
You got it all straight?
I have it. Because it started off, it was quickly, Tenay was talking about, I don't know nothing about Sting. It's TNA management. Which sucks because the worst part about it is, Jarrett, every time something happens to Jarrett, he comes out, he wants to talk to Tenay. Tenay never has the answer. Why does he do this?
Why don't he just go straight to Zabisco?
And then Don West is like, it's Jared. It's Jared. Okay, we don't care. So, Jared is like, I'm going to find more information about this. And that's when Samoa Joe music hits. And Samoa Joe comes out. And just right there, the X Division champ is staying there. The NWA champ, and they stare each other down for a couple seconds.
I like to just stare down because hopefully Samoa Joe get a title shot like everybody else that gets a title shot. I like Samoa Joe.
I'm on the fence.
Okay, Randy Jackson.
All right. So after that, it's time for Samoa Joe match. Well, I will say it was a very good match, and I'll tell you why it was a good match. It was versus Jay Lethal. It's because
that's a cool name.
For the first time, somebody put some offense up against Samoa Joe.
AJ did at Turning Point.
I'm talking about on the Impact shows.
And I thought it was just going to be a basic squash match. Samoa Joe, I do a chop, kicks, muscle buster, choke you out.
No, it's like the chop, stiff kicks, throw you in the corner, face watch, muscle buster, coquina choke.
And the young Joe Lethal competed in the whole match doing just nice moves. It was very fast. Samoa Joe was moving.
It was a nice. It's still not what we was promised when we first saw the highlight tapes of the fat man
flip over the rope. I still ain't see the flip over the rope.
I want to see that happen, but still.
Maybe we got to watch Turning Point one day.
So anyway, Samoa Joe wins this match with the muscle buster.
No, with the choke.
No, Marcus.
Oh, you got to say the muscle buster.
That leads to the coquina choke, because clutch, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So it was actually a really good match, like I said.
I really enjoyed it. Probably one of the best matches of the night.
No, I actually thought the next match was pretty good.
I can't remember. Oh, is this Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin?
No, not Chris Sabin.
I mean, Matt Bentley.
I'll correct it after that. After this match, they cut backstage. They went to commercial and they came back. And Shane Douglas is interviewing Ron Killings and Conan. And Conan is justifying why he attacked Kip James. He was saying that Road Dogg has no right to make decisions for a three live crew. That three live crew need to make decisions together. Mm-hmm. Ron Killings then was upset that Conan took matters into his own hands because he said that normally when there's a problem, they would come get him, they work it out, stuff like that. And he said there's no more crew because he can't trust anybody anymore.
Well, as long as he stopped dancing, I think I could cheer Ron Killings. Killings?
Mars, he's not going to stop dancing, though.
If he would just stop, this was the problem when back when he was in WWF. He wouldn't stop dancing. His moves look useless. If he could just balance the being a wrestler and stop dancing, we can work something
out. You enjoy the show? All right. They cut back to the ring.
Now that Four Life Crew is broken up, that's the happiest day of my life.
Okay. Now it's time for Alex Shelley versus Matt Bentley. The true scout that Alex Shelley is. He came out to the ring and set up his camera in the tripod.
And apparently, they zoomed into his camera, it looked like he was looking at the ground, but that's a different story.
It doesn't matter. Bentley came out with Tracy, doing the Bentley bounce. You gotta like both of these cats, which, you know what sucks about these two cats, though?
What?
Well, not as for Shelley. Bentley hasn't been on television for a couple of weeks.
I forgot about Matt Bentley.
But they had a hell of a match.
It was okay.
Well, it was a good match. But
I think they could have had it better.
But what added a little spice to the match was Shannon Moore watched the match from up above the shadows where Jeff Hardy did his swanton.
And didn't he say, like, the Impact Zone need to be pumped?
No. He held up a sign. I have accurate. I took great notes.
You took notes this week.
He said that the X Division needs to get pumped. Why? Because his gimmick is he is the Prince of Punk, Shannon Moore.
Well, he was the Prince of Punk at WWE.
I guess WWE.
And toward the end.
I guess WWE didn't copyright that name.
No, apparently they just didn't care.
So what was funny, though, and this is how Alex Shelley almost lost this match. He goes outside the ring because he sees Moore up atop and decides that for some reason he's going to put the camera on him up there. He can learn nothing from right there. Did you notice that security was Don Harris? Or one of the Harris brothers?
I can't remember security. Maybe I should have rewatched.
Okay, but you know who the Harris brothers are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of security.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, so when Shelley gets back into the ring, Bentley hits him with the STO. I don't know what that is, but he hit him with it. That's the move. But Shelley fought out of it and then hit a roll-up with a handful of tights for the win. All that scouting paid off.
Yeah. I mean, it took him long enough to realize you got to use tights to win a match. I mean, Carlito's already using middle rope. You got to use tights.
Ah, Carlito.
Tights and middle rope are the best weapons in all wrestling.
Okay. We have to learn how not to give the TNA report and not reference any WWE.
No, I'm just referencing grabbing the tights and rope. They don't do that much in TNA. What you say? They need to learn to do it.
All right.
It works.
So after this match, they cut backstage again, and Jeff Jarrett isn't in the back routing up his troops. He runs into America's Most Wanted, talking about TNA management wants a war, so we're going to give it to him.
Now, wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Who wants a war?
TNA management.
What? Who has told him he needs to round up the troops and start a war?
Well, I'm going to get to his philosophy why a war needs to be started, because that's how they ended the show.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just going to focus on him wanting to round up the troops.
Okay.
So he's talking to America's War. We need to go find Monty Brown. But then he's interrupted by Gail Kim, who wants to talk about Jackie.
Jackie Gator, who's been really running out and everything.
But Jared says that he needs to find Monty. Now, are they trying to, what love triangle are they trying to do?
Jared's involved in too many stories.
Jared is like the centerpiece of the whole stories, but Jared is not entertaining to me.
I mean, he's weak on the mic, and there's so many other people that could be a better champion than Jeff Jarrett.
Exactly. I just don't get it. And who cares about Gail Kim and him having sex if that's what they're trying to imply?
Let him do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Gail Kim just showed up one day on Impact. They still ain't explaining everything.
Yeah, they don't even know why they're together. She just there. This is the crony. Up. That she's going to make sure Larry Zbyszko know not to cross Jeff Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to commercial, and they come back, and now we have somebody else lobbying for a title shot. James Mitchell, one of my favorite managers in wrestling right now, is talking about how Abyss needs a title shot.
Now, Abyss just lost to Sabu in the barbed wire match. Why did he get a title shot?
I don't know.
He just blatantly lost to Sabu. It was almost like a squash match.
Actually, Abyss ain't won a match in I don't know how long.
What?
He lost that monster ball.
He's lost a lot of them.
So, I mean, I think, and the reason that Mitchell was justifying his title shot was because he overcame his fear of barbed wire. I believe that was it. Don't quote me on that one, but I believe that's what it was.
That's a hell of a compliment.
The most important fact of this is that when he finished giving the interview, Scott D'Amore came and said that he needs to talk to Mitchell because he has an offer. Now, Marcus, I have a question about you to ask you about Scott D'Amore.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at him, don't he remind you of a fat Christian? If Christian was fat, he would look like Scott D'Amore. You really got to look at the cat.
I'm going through the image in my head, knowing I have a photographic memory. No, I don't see it.
Okay. After we finish the show, I'm going to pull up the TNA footage from the Jumbotron and won't show you.
We have no Jumbotron, it's a 13-inch TV.
So, the next match is Rhino versus Joe Doering. Now, I'm not going to tell you what happened in this match, just going to tell you how the match was won. Only thing that was really important about this match is after the match, Rhino gets a mic. So, Rhino wins the match with a what, Marcus?
Gore!
Exactly.
Gore!
Okay.
Gore! Motherfucker. That's like me saying, bang!
Alright.
Go over the notes.
He grabs the mic. He talks about how many of Jarrett goons it took to get him down and lose the title. And that one day, he would go after Jarrett again. And if he had to go through Team Canada one by one to get to Scott D'Amore, he would do it. My question is, and that they would get theirs real soon. Why do you have to wait till one day? When you get them back now, they just jumped you. Get it back fresh while it's in your mind, while they scorn you. Don't wait till 2 months later. But you know what? I forgot. They got to make room for Sting, so.
And I see no room for Sting,
I mean,
honestly.
Check this out. Rhino came in, title shot. Christian came in, title shot. Well, he don't get the title
shot. Jeff Hardy came in.
Title shot.
Rhino True Killers came in.
Title shot.
I'm out.
Sting coming in, title shot.
AJ Styles came in, I guess he got a title shot. And Jared somehow still champion. That's
what I'm saying. I don't know.
Well, they lost it a few times back to back every now and then.
Now, it's time for the main event match, which I'm not going to give you guys no details of how this match happened.
I don't even remember the main event, that's
fine. I'm just going to tell you what it was. I have some comments to make about the competitors, but that's about it. It's Team 3D versus Diamonds in the Rough. Before the match, they were backstage and Jared asked Simon Diamond, was he in with Team Jared?
Well, you could always count on me.
And he was like, we're going to take care if that we have video that would make more be a little bit more funny, Marcus. He was like, we'll take out Team 3D for you. And whatever. So they get in the match. Apparently, they didn't take out Team 3D. Davey Young gets the 3D. That's the pin. Team 3D wants. What I thought was funny about this match is that Team 3D is so out of shape They have Brother Devon wear a tank top, but he wears it around his stomach so his stomach don't show. Like he have tape ribs.
And now Brother Bubba Ray used to wear open sleeve shirts. Now he's fully covered in a t-shirt.
And all black, because you know black has a slimming effect.
And we wouldn't know something about that.
Yes, we would. So now it's time for the end of the show. And we all know how I feel about Indian wrestling shows with no wrestling.
You've been saying this weekly, but mostly, shockingly, for the WWE. Yes, TNA is caught on to this tradition, I guess.
But the thing is, you can end it when you have a good speaker. Because I believe a couple of weeks ago, they ended it with Christian. And it went over really well because it was Christian and Monty Brown.
They didn't really end it with Christian, did they?
Yeah, they did.
Because, didn't they end it with AJ Styles getting beat up in the wall?
No, because remember, that's when Monty Brown pounced.
Yeah.
Him, and that's how it went off.
And that was a shiny shirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was a pretty good. That was a pretty good segment. Now, Jeff Jarrett comes back out to the ring with his troops. And he says, in the ring with him is Team Canada, Abyss, with James Mitchell.
Diamonds in the Rough.
America's Most Wanted. Diamonds in the Rough was out there? I didn't notice that.
I think Ian Skipper.
No, I don't.
Oh, by the way, Ian Skipper is Devon Dudley's son or related to him. They look too close to be related.
I don't think Diamonds in the Rough was out there because they just got fit in losing, so I don't think they would have reasons to be out there.
I think everybody that Jared wanted recruited was out there.
Well, anyway.
It doesn't matter.
He's out there. He's talking about Rhino, how TNA management has brought in Rhino, Team 3D, Christian, and Sting, and that means they want a war.
Why does that mean? That just means they're trying to expand their business.
Wait, hold up. Then he said if they want a war, then they can have it. Now, question about this one real quick for Marcus. Mm-hmm. They have Rhino, they have Team 3D, they have Christian.
And Sting. Who's stuff playing at the end of the show.
I'm just curious. Couldn't Jeff Hardy be in this team too?
Jeff Hardy suspended at this time.
I know he's suspended, but wouldn't it kind of at least even the odds another outsider coming in? Because he did come in and get a title shot.
Yeah, there could be somebody else.
Because the sides are very uneven right now.
I mean, Team Canada's over. Can they just throw like AJ Styles and...
I don't know.
Unless Samoa Joe in the ring?
No. Unless TNA plans on stealing some more WWE talent, we don't know what's going to happen.
Unless WWE plans on stealing some more TNA talent. You never know.
So, Jared went to each member of his camp to pledge allegiance to the cause. Went to America's Most Wanted, James Mitchell and Abyss. Abyss grunted. I guess that meant yes.
Have anybody seen Monty?
Then he calls out Monty Brown.
Monty Brown, I need you out here right now.
I have to say, Monty Brown came out to the ring. He didn't do the strut, Marcus.
I just want to have the strut.
Apparently, Monty Brown has been working on his mic skills a little bit. It's improving slowly but surely. Talking about in a Serengeti, they hunt alone, some stuff like that.
He was talking about some crazy
stuff. One day I got to figure out where the hell the Serengeti is at, but I don't know.
It's the ring, I think.
Then he said that it's meant for him to run wild and not be held back by TNA. He smiled, agreed with Jarrett, shook his head, and they hugged each other.
Wasn't Monty Brown the number one contender for the championship?
Wasn't Monty Brown aligned with Jeff Jarrett at one point? I think this was before Jeff Hardy, and he was supposed to have the title shot that he was screwed over again. How did he learn that working with Jeff Hardy means nothing?
Working with Jeff Jarrett means nothing.
Jeff Hardy, too.
Oh, zinger!
Yeah. So anyway, after that...
At least there was no less Hoyt this week.
Oh, thank the Lord.
No, Hoyt.
All right. So what happens now is that the new Jumbotron that I think they incorporated a couple of weeks ago, starts playing...
They had like multiple ones, didn't
they? Yeah, they start playing Sting's logo, and here come Team 3D, Christian Cage, and Rhino standing underneath the Jumbotron while Jared is in the ring. They come down the ringside. They fight. That's how TNA go off.
Do they really need Sting? I really don't feel like seeing Sting anymore. I've been through with Sting for a while.
Well, it's not that. I put it this way. I feel Sting would have been better if he would have went to WWE.
No, I feel he wouldn't have been better. I don't feel like seeing Sting anymore.
No, the reason
he's
why,
so old,
no,
man.
But I'm saying the reason why he would have been better in WWE, because he wouldn't need to be in the main event. He would just be a side story. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Think about
they might do a Shawn Michaels and Sting thing.
No, just think about if they brought Sting in, right? He could have been the reason why Undertaker lost in the Hell in a Cell, just to screw over Undertaker. Then you have Sting versus Undertaker, stuff like that.
Epic feud for me.
Yeah, and you realize those two names could have a feud without having a belt on the line. That would free up Randy Orton to go fight Batista for the belt and win the belt.
At like Royal Rumble.
But instead, he loses.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I have my predictions for the Royal Rumble. Should I give them out like
no?
I'll give them out a lot later.
Can we at least wait till New Year's Revolution happens?
No, but I have predictions who's going to win the Royal Rumble.
Okay, so that's been TNA. Marcus doesn't feel that they need Sting. I don't feel that they need Sting.
I don't feel nobody really needs Sting, man. Stop rehashing these old guys.
I felt
man.
Christian was enough, and he could have got him over in the hump, but guess not.
I don't need Sting. I don't need Hogan. I don't need...
Oh, that was a news story that I read, too. Apparently, Hogan was upset at how much he got paid for SummerSlam.
Man, lucky you got paid, man. Y'all might as well do all the work. All you do is go douche, douche. Yeah. All you do is take your picture.
All right, Marcus. All right, we're going to take a break to let Marcus calm down over his Hogan hatred.
I'm sick of these bets, man.
And we'll be right back.
I hear you on the radio. You permeate my screen. It's unkind.
Everybody, we're back, and we're going to do the Armageddon and Raw report combined. We're going to start off with the Armageddon report. With just the results, Mark's going to give some insight on some of the matches because he watched a few. Then we're going to go into Raw, the Salute to the Troops special, and then we'll be finished with the show. Marcus, you might be correct. This might be a very short show.
No, I don't know.
We'll see.
We got to get through Raw. Well, Raw was pretty quick.
Raw was pretty quick because it was a bunch of video
packages.
Video
talk and then, you know.
Nothing against that. Salute the Troops.
I mean, it was a positive for what they
did. Yeah, okay. So now it's time for the Armageddon pay-per-view results. The first match was John Bradshaw Layfield, the wrestling guy, the best wrestler in the business, one of the best wrestlers, especially when he's in shape. I will call him JBL, versus Matt Hardy. I saw this match. I saw Matt Hardy get his butt whooped the entire match.
Squash match.
Why? Matt Hardy has so much promise, now he's just getting his butt whooped.
Well, apparently, he right now they have nothing to do with him. I honestly don't see what they could do with Matt Hardy at this point. Because they took Hardcore off the air, so he can't feud with him. Sylvain ain't no, you know, it's no real feud with that. Lashley is a good guy. Hardy's a good guy. Can't do that. Mm-hmm. It's nobody available for Hardy to fight. The USA title is pretty much abandoned until the Best of Seven, which is going to end like in 2 months. It's over.
Probably the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can do with him. There's nothing you can do with a lot of people in the chat. The Best of Seven is really freezing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and so is that enough on that match?
Yeah, squash match, JBL wins.
It was one spot where they could have did a little bit better, but it was interesting. Matt Hardy got caught up in the ropes and he was hanging, and it just like...
Those were the worst punches.
It was some of the worst punches by Bradshaw because you could tell they weren't landing, the boots weren't that great. So they could have worked on that part. They really messed up that spot, but besides, it was an okay match, except for the ass whooping. The next match
JBL
was...
JBL talked for 10 minutes at the beginning.
Don't talk about JBL.
We didn't even listen to what he said. We were talking over here.
I was waiting for every word JBL was about to say.
The only thing you said is that he has a stock market. He's a wrestling guy. That's all you heard. All
right. Next match is Eminem, Mercury and Nitro with Melina versus the Mexico, Psychosis, and Super Crazy. Excellent match.
Pretty good match.
I saw some of this. Would have been a better match if they had a bell on the line and they had a little bit more time to wrestle a little bit more.
Dave, Batista, I'm looking at you because you just ruined an excellent feud right here. This
Monday Night, match. I mean, Eminem won the match.
Well, you're about to call Monday Night Nitro.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Monday Night Nitro and Mercury and Melina.
All right, the next. Oh, you ready?
What's going to say? It's a pretty good match. Okay. And I believe the tag team division is really good right now on SmackDown.
Okay, the next match is Chris Benoit versus Booker T, match 4 of the Best of 7. From reports on the internet, one of the better matches of the night. Marcus, would you concur?
This match was great. If I didn't read the reports on the internet, I would have thought Benoit would have lost his match. But and also in the match, he hit one of the best flying headbutts he's done in a long time, and I thought it was over after the flying headbutt for the first time.
Now, I have a question about this Best of 7 match. Mm-hmm. Can Teddy Long come in at any time and put stipulations in?
I don't think so.
Like, let's say they get tied up.
I think
up.
He could borrow Charmel from ringside.
Okay, let's just say for him, they get tied up, right? Because you know they're going to get tied up, 3-3. For match 7, could he say, you guys going to do it in a cage? To put some more spice into it?
No, I don't think he could do that. Yeah. But he could do it because he's general manager, but I really doubt it. It's more of about singles, and they did a good job in this match. And also, in the match, Chris Benoit did do the Three Amigos.
I heard about that.
It was pretty good, though.
All right. The next match, from what I understand, is the worst match of the night. Bobby Lashley versus William Regal and Paul Burchill.
It wasn't that bad.
It was a squash match, Marcus.
It wasn't that big of a squash match. It was very... I liked it. It was fast-paced going in and out. Burchill and Regal worked good. Lashley got beat up. He threw some punches. It worked out pretty good. I would have preferred to see Lashley versus Burchill in a singles match that wasn't a squash match because they was having some... They had, it looked like they had some good chemistry in the ring.
Burchill,
and
Regal seemed like... Burchill and Lashley or Regal and Lashley?
Burchill and Lashley. Regal had some good chemistry too. It really worked. I think it worked. It
like I said, match. WWE okay. writers, listen to us. Strip the break up the tag team of Regal and Burchill.
Just ain't won anything.
Make Regal the manager, since he can't wrestle that much, that will wrestle here and there, and let him train Burchill on how to be a killer.
Yeah, I mean, that would work. I mean, he's doing that now as a tag team. Just saying I win as a tag team, I think it'd be more effective as a singles wrestler.
Yeah.
And also, they could do it lastly. They could put him in some type of feud with somebody. Somebody's available right now. I had it in my mind earlier that somebody was available he could feud with. They could just run out and just beat him up for a moment. I can't remember who it is, though, right now.
Hardcore Holly?
No, it wasn't. No, it was somebody that's so available now.
You want to see Hardcore Holly get beat up?
Just wouldn't care.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's Hardcore. It was somebody available. I just can't think of it right now.
Well, because I think it's time to stop his squash matches.
Because it's getting tired.
Especially when you have the Boogeyman doing squash matches now.
It's just...
Hey, I heard the Boogeyman was on the show. Where did he come in at?
Oh, he came in just...
Oh, with Big Vito and Nuzio because they wanted another tag team title shot.
Well, Nuzio came in dressed as an elf who looked very convincing as an elf because, you know, he's so small and green. And Vito plays Santa Claus. And it was bad. They want their title shots and cruiserweights. And they was handing out Cole to the crowd. And Michael Cole and candy canes. Michael Cole, they reached over to give Michael Cole a candy cane. They was like, wait a minute. Here's some Cole. And then they gave Taz a candy cane. And Michael Cole was like, that's the biggest jerk in the world right there. I thought I had a candy cane. Because Michael Cole seemed excited. Oh, wait. I was going to call it the big dog for now. The big dog seemed excited about getting the candy cane.
All right. Who gave the big dog the nickname again? I forgot.
The Boogeyman.
Yeah,
the Boogeyman in the gym gave Michael Cole the big dog.
I don't know why they call it the big dog. It's an inside joke. I took Marcus' advice. I watched Bite This. It was hilarious. Didn't finish it all, but I saw enough. If you have to, fast forward it to where Michael Cole snaps, and it's just great.
You see when he moved the table?
No.
You still ain't got that far when Taz moves the table?
No.
And Michael Cole's like, you broke this guy's phone? You gotta see that part. All
right. Maybe after
the
show.
Oh, wait. Let me get back on Vito and Lashley. Vito and Boogeyman. All right. They get in there complaining. And the network guy's like, I got somebody for you to fight. And then the Boogeyman came out. And then he beats up Nunzio and then pulls out. Then he does some type of magic trick, Shades of Hogwarts. Over inside the Santa sack that he had on that Vito had left on the ground, and the next thing you know, the bag is full of maggots and worms.
All right,
and he throws the worms up in the air, gives some pump handle slam with somebody, shoves the worms in somebody's match. Very useless segment. It was just long and useless.
Okay, next Kid Cash versus Juventud Guerrero. Kid Cash, the new cruiserweight champion.
Yeah, about this match, it was good, but I would like to see more high flying in a cruiserweight match. It was on the mat, and the crowd was booing him, and it was awful. Because before this, the epic and most controversial thing at Armageddon took place. What's his name? White.
Teddy White,
who was injured apparently during the Hell in a Cell match between Triple H and Jericho, which I have no recollection of, but I probably do if they show the storyline or something to it. I'll be like, oh yeah, that was a Hell in a Cell match. Anyway, he's just drinking, and then Josh Matthews on an interview about Hell in a Cell. He's drinking some more, and then they show the clip, and then he gives some long, entire speech of depression, how everybody left him, and nobody comes to his bar. Then that's when he started getting sick, and nobody liked him anymore, and then he just took another drink, and he just kept taking a drink. Next thing you know, and he was like, just get the camera away for me. Then he's trying to pick up a shotgun.
Oh, I thought it was a rifle, for honesty.
It was a shot. It was a rifle shotgun. It looks like a shotgun. Then, off camera, he blows his brains out. And Josh Matt's like, wait, don't do that, Teddy White. Don't do it. There's no evidence that he blew his brains out. But that's what they're pretty much going for.
Now, from what I understand, which is really funny, some people actually called 911 and had him sent to the bar.
Yeah, 1,000 phone calls to 911 to that bar saying somebody just killed himself. Now, those people are...
No, it's funny.
Oh, I gotta show you a clip later about this guy who's crying over wrestling. I think you should put it on our, what'd you call him? It's funny. It's funny. Like, it's just so real to me. It's just funny. He's crying because he's talking to these guys. So I don't know. But anyway, it's just... This was stupid to even have on there because okay. So controversial. People was offended.
Stop, Marcus. Okay, let's... We're,
it should be over.
Mark, you're trying to stretch this out to an hour.
No, I don't even care.
All right. Next but, match.
Kane. I thought we were going to get on Teddy White. It was so controversial. You know, it's a big news story. I don't talk about it.
Stupid angle.
Stupid, shouldn't even
WWE
be
has done stupid angles before. Brian Pillman pulling the gun out on Steve Austin.
Vince McMahon using the N-word.
I mean, come on. It happens.
Yeah, well, this is really stupid.
They tried
to... Why was they trying to promote the Hell in a Cell match when the Hell in a Cell... The people who seen
Mark,
it...
They probably, Mark, they was probably going to try to, have Undertaker resurrect him from the chat. I don't know what they were going.
They wasn't going for nothing. It was
Can
stupid.
We please finish the Armageddon result?
Let's go.
Kane and Big Show versus Batista and Rey.
Very quick.
People told me it was actually a pretty good match, even though it was kind of quick.
It was very quick. It was okay.
Kane but and Big Show win.
It was no Mexicos in them.
Kane and Big Show win.
Yeah, choke slams Rey Mysterio. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, Undertaker, Randy Orton, Hell in a Cell. Undertaker wins. I'm shocked. I really thought Randy was going to win.
Nah, I thought Undertaker was going to win. I told you last week on the show.
Does this end the feud between Undertaker and Randy Orton? Does this end the feud between
Undertaker? It should. I mean, this feud's been going on for a year. It's like, come on, end
but
this.
But can I ask a question? What? Now, but Randy Orton now losing to Undertaker can't go after the belt now.
Why not?
He just lost to Undertaker. Undertaker's number one contender, technically.
Somewhat. But I don't think nobody's going to the belt for a while. I don't know what they're going to do with this.
So that was Armageddon.
Oh, yeah, I was supposed to give my opinions on this match. It was okay. Not the best Hell in a Cell by no clothes. It's not even up there.
No, it messed up this Hell in a Cell match. They showed too many damn clips.
Yeah, they really
you
did.
You can't show highlights from the past, girl, because people are going to expect big falls, big crashes. You want to see crash and burn, baby. Crash and burn.
And then they actually tease the eyes by opening up the door, and nobody leaves out the open door. And they all knocked out the referee, which was no need. But Randy Orton did the tombstone on Undertaker, and then looked that clean. Undertaker looked like he could have broke his neck out.
All right, now, it's time to go into our WWE Raw Tribute to the Truth special that aired on December 19th, 2005. The show opens up with one of many video packages. This video put emphasis that WWE is continuing the tradition of entertaining the troops. They were showing old footage of other people entertaining troops. They had the Scott Stapp song, Set Me Free, playing in the background.
Your boy, who I'm offended by, how the heck he lead Creed like that? That's awful. Scott Stapp, I'd be ashamed of himself.
And then they also were just showing WWE superstars interacting with the soldiers. Then they went to Vince McMahon coming out to the ring with his power strut. The announcers, I think Joey Styles says, you think Vince is going to teach me how to walk like that? Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Who, you know, preempted over, you know. They just
Marcus said they recorded in the studio in Stanford, Connecticut. Whatever.
It's cool.
Doesn't matter.
It's cool.
All right.
Doesn't matter.
Vince McMahon comes out. He states that they are in Afghanistan. And they were to entertain the troops and spread a little Christmas cheer. He says that Santa will be making an appearance tonight at Bagram Airfield. Which, you know, you always like Santa. Every year Santa get his ass whooped or something like that.
Stunned, drunk, dead. Every year something happens.
Says the media does not want to tell their real story. That the media is holding things out.
Yeah, because they're only covering Iraq, apparently, they say.
Vince said that WWE was there to tell their story, to say thank you, and to tell the truth that America damn well supports you.
What? Then he rightly said.
Then he calls out Lillian Garcia and say, Heifer.
Get out of here and shake something.
He said, bitch, sing that national anthem. He didn't say that, but you can imagine him saying that.
Because she came out in a ho, ho, ho good outfit.
Then after she sings,
it was nice outfit.
They come back from commercial, and they're in their the next video package where they're airing clips from Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany. This was the first stop, and this video showed numerous superstars interacting with more fans. They went to the Landstuhl Regional Medical Center. This is the largest medical hospital outside the United States of America. They also showed clips from, throughout the whole time, they showed the wrestlers interacting with the fans. They showed clips from the newspaper, of the military newspaper, talking about with the wrestlers visiting injured soldiers and stuff like that. thought it was really nice. It really showed how much these soldiers really appreciated.
Later video clips, you see people doing the flare walk, who didn't do it that good, but well, this is all
right. Me and Marcus both agreed that if we had Ric Flair standing right next to it, we're gonna do the flare walk, but we're gonna drop the knee.
But we don't. There's no evidence that he didn't drop the knee because they only cut it after
he didn't drop the knee. Because if he dropped the knee, you gotta show the person dropping the knee
and the elbow.
You this the knee at least.
Yeah.
Now it's time for the first match of the night. Had a lot of promise, at least in principle, in theory. Big Show versus Carlito. Big Show wins with a choke slam. Into the match.
Squash match. Carlito didn't let well fist move. Bigger than JBL. This match was quick and, you know.
It was quick and painful.
Carlito's still talking mess to the troops.
Who the hell does he talk to when he walks out?
He pointed all over the place. All
right. They aired the next video package. This video package talks about the minefields that the troops had to make safe. Man, all I gotta say, if I was in the military, this is the one job I do not want to do. I do not want to clear out the minefield.
That is dangerous, man. They show people their legs blown off.
Yeah, there was like, these mines aren't big enough to destroy no tank, but they can make you lose a leg and stuff. And they were like talking about how it take a whole day, they only clear a couple of yards. I'm like, don't you got a robot or something that can do this?
That's expensive, and you know that.
What, that robots?
Yes.
Why?
It's just expensive.
I don't care.
Man, those mines are
so you trying to tell me it's too expensive to save a soldier's leg?
Apparently so.
So they took Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair on this tour. They talked about, you know, clearing the fields, and they actually detonated some stuff. And they said that you have to be in this bunker or the blast could really, really destroy something. Mm-hmm. Then the soldier said, you know what? They like taking that risk every day because it makes them feel good, making a difference in these people's lives. And that's when they showed a shot of this Afghan woman. Mm-hmm. Dressed up in the back.
Yeah.
Nice story. Kind of sad about the minefields, but what can you say? So, they come back for a commercial break. The 455th Air Expeditionary Wing. Okay, you know what? Some military units said thank you. I'm not going to read them off. I'm sorry.
They're going to be disappointed.
No, they won't. Coach was inside the ring.
And which was good because he wasn't on commentary.
Yes.
And Jerry Lawler and Joey Styles really work together better. The coach is not around in there.
Okay, whatever. He introduces Santa Claus that comes out to the ring. So Santa Claus is not fat. He's not jolly. He's
actually,
coming out.
He is fat, and he has man boobs.
Don't you talk about JBL Santa like that. Anyway, he comes out in fatigues. He announces that he's going to cancel Christmas and some other holidays that they're going to have, and even cancel their leaves because this place sucks, referring to Afghanistan. Then another Santa comes out. We're going to call him Mick Santa Claus Foley. Says that he's going to deliver toys and all the good servicemen and women in Afghanistan. Pretty much counteracting everything that JBL says. What's kind of funny, though, is JBL out here saying all this stuff. And we all know how JBL loved the troops.
Mm-hmm. It's like his, what's the word? His molding,
yeah.
That's the worst word ever, his molding, but you know, his conjuring up.
So Big Foley says there's only one way to prove who the real Santa was, and that's to have a no-ho-ho-ho-holds-barred match.
Yes.
They use no weapons.
They use the
bat. They use a couple of weapons. So the next match was Mick Foley versus JBL. One of the weapons I remember is that Mick Foley has some salad tongs, and he grabbed JBL balls with those. You just don't grab a man balls with salad tongs.
No, like Randy Orton can't hit Undertaker in the groin with chain wrapped around his fist.
That was offensive.
We didn't even get into that in our Hell in a Cell discussion, but it was all that was.
All right, so how this match ends is that JBL attempts the clothesline from Hell, but Mick ducks it, lands the double arm DDT, pulls out Mr. Socko, applies the mandible claw, gets the 1-2-3 for the pin. Apparently, I guess that means that Mick Foley is the real Santa Claus.
Apparently so.
Can I say, I'd rather have Steve Austin give Santa Claus or Santa Claus a study.
Mm-hmm. But this was no highlight.
I guess. What
this was no highlight of the night. No. It wasn't about the matches like they kept saying. It's about making the troops feel good and entertaining.
And speaking of making the troops feel good, we had another video package. This highlighted the WWE meeting with the press. John Cena stated that they were giving the Afghan people a taste of American culture. Guess that's his rap music. Trish was also proud about how they are building women's schools because apparently women can't learn at that time.
Yeah, they couldn't go to school until they got there.
I just want to put this out. The Lawler dropped a very important stat, or it was either Joy Styles.
I think it was Lawler.
Only 97% of the women in Afghanistan. No. Oh, 97% of the women in Afghanistan has never been to school. And, yeah, then he has a funny question. What happened to, how did the other 3% get by?
Well, anyway, he's like, now it's like some other administration the women are in now. Mm-hmm. Mostly women now.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Something like that. It was a long, deep thing. I was like, J-Lo said that.
But now as long as the next one, where they talked about Rita Crosby, and highlights from her video. They showed her and WWE superstars with soldiers listening to their stories and reuniting families and stuff. What can you say?
Rita Crosby.
What can you say? Then the next match of the night, more punishment for Mr. Shelton Benjamin versus Gene Snitsky.
It's not his fault.
The announcers,
I'm going to have
Shelton. I put it this way. The announcers brought up Shelton's Benjamin losing streak, and I knew he was about to lose tonight.
Yeah, I was shocked that he would actually lose to Gene Snitsky, honestly.
Well, what happened is...
And he didn't even look like he was fumbling around. He just looked like he got his butt whipped.
Well, what happened is Benjamin went for his splash, or the stinger splash, whatever you want to call it, in the corner, but Snitsky showed the ring presence and moved out away, and Shelton hit the exposed turnbuckle that Snitsky exposed earlier. When he gets out from there, Snitsky hits him with the big boot. 1, 2, 3. You know what? I think teaming Snitsky up with Tomko has taught him a lesson how to put some lead in his boot.
Mm-hmm. Him and Tomko are a good team.
And guess what happened? Guess what they showed after this match, Marcus?
More video footage?
More video footage. This one talked about the Taliban's tavern. That they were showing that this was the place that the Taliban worked out of and was the last mud huts in Kandahar. That's pretty much what they destroyed and took out. And apparently... That place served as a place to lift the morale of the troops. It was nice. Nice little insight. Then they showed Shawn Michaels and a lot of Shelton Benjamin that stuff and good stuff like that. They showed him that, right?
Yeah. Then, wasn't this the clip when Shawn Michaels and met that girl? And she was crying
because
she
think that's
coming in there? Or was that later on?
That could have been there. Could have been later on. Okay. Now, I know I said I wasn't going to say no more happy holidays from other companies, but this was my favorite company of the night. Whiskey Company. Ametar wished everyone happy holidays.
Whiskey Company, man. Did they have like a bar built
in? I don't know what they had, man. I just know. They just had Whiskey Company.
Good people.
Next match, Chris Masters versus John Cena. What made this match funny? Chris Masters did his intro. Without it being dark and stuff, it's not the same.
But in the little space he had in that little corner.
But I think the announcers made it even more funnier because King was like, we need to be silent. And Joey sounds like, I'm happy that they liberate this one, so I'm going to shout. And then he was like, you can be quiet now. No, it's too late now. So it was funny. So,
and he did do his little celebrate. I wish the troops would have did it with him in the background, but what can I ask for? This is funny, because he was like, come on, do it with me. They was like, get out of here, Master Lock.
Basic John Cena, Chris Masters match. Masters put the Master Lock on John Cena. Could have won the match as though has ever broken out of this mat, this hole. But John Cena starts to break out and Masters decides to let it go.
No, he didn't actually break out.
But he was.
Masters just gave up on trying to knock him out with the Master Lock.
Exactly.
So he just threw him on the ground.
I guess.
And didn't try to do anything with
it. Just being thugonomics. This makes you too tough.
Yeah, basic thugonomics.
So,
Here from West Newberry, Massachusetts.
So John delivered his clothesline and his shoulder blocks. You've seen them all.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gave the You Can't See Me symbol. Landed the 5-knuckle shuffle, fist drop, hit the FU for the win.
Fireman carry. All his moves are the basic moves in the game.
He was not booed.
They are really booed somebody that's trying to entertain the troops. He flew over there to entertain
them. JBL got booed.
Because what he was saying, I would have booed him.
So Marcus, what did they have to show after this match?
Video footage.
Video footage. This showed more superstars interacting with the troops. They even had some comments that I remember. Triple H said how coming over there changes you. I guess does that mean you still want the belt, Triple H? I don't know. Maria said she never expected to feel the way that she felt. And Shawn Michaels can't believe how saying hello to people touches people. Well, Shawn, you're a wrestler. You're an entertainer. People love you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens.
And Shawn Michaels was in like every video package.
He was
every video package they had.
Marcus, I want to thank you for the great segue, because that was the next moment. Coach was in the ring, and he introduced Ric Flair.
Woo!
He talked about Ric Flair's loser streak, not only in the ring, but in life also. Should have never took that shot. I was offended. He called this Flair's farewell tour.
Farewell.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
Tour.
Then he said that he feel that he could beat Flair 1, 2, 3, and Flair didn't have the guts to face him tonight for the Intercontinental Championship. And this is what Marcus said, because if you guys know way back, I feel Flair should have dropped the belt to Conway, and I'm still standing by
you
that.
You can't drop the belt to
Marcus
Conway.
Marcus will ask me, well, should he drop the belt to the coach? No, he shouldn't drop the belt to the coach.
Hey, but you wanted to drop it to the Conway with the E,
the Conway, man. Shit. Okay, so Flair took the mic and said there's only one thing for him to say, and that was, woo!
Yeah, and then they fall, and they got him in the figure four eventually in the match.
We got to hurry up and end this because I'm losing my voice.
Are you?
Yeah. So how this match end is Ric Flair told the ref to check for something out in the corner. What the hell was wrong with you, referee? Ric Flair going to tell you to check something out in the corner. You going to go check it out?
He was like, what did he say? Get that out of here, right? So I forgot what he said.
I don't know. Anyway, when the referee had his back turned, he hit Coach in the nuts. Hit the finger four, won the match.
Well, all I gotta say is this. The referee had to do it because he was flared in the wrestling since that guy was born, before he was born.
And then my issue is, do you really need to cheat to beat the coach?
Yes, you do.
All right.
You're Ric Flair, dirtiest player in the game. Video package.
Then it talked about another video aired talking about the superstars visiting the troops leading up to the special. I guess their little daily track. Then they show Maria and Candice are preparing for the match. Then, the funny part about this, she gets separated from Candace, and Maria almost walks into a minefield.
Which I thought, oh no, not somebody else gonna die. Timmy White just died Sunday.
Okay. Mark, but this was, Mark, yeah. This was tastefully done, though. No.
Yeah, because you know she didn't die.
Yeah, but she's stupid enough to go, apparently. Then they show Trish and Ashley getting prepared for the match. I think what's funny is because apparently they have guards that guard their dressing room. And as they walked out, the guard has had this look like, God damn,
yo.
I was
in there. Hey, let's go wait in their room.
Then it was time for the match. Candace and Michelle.
It's Candace Michelle.
The Witch of the West, Candace Michelle and Maria versus Trish and Ashley. Go Daddy. Pretty much, Candace and Maria won this match with a roll-up pin with a handful of tights. But to describe with the King or Joey Styles, it's handful of silk, nice, soft tights.
Yep.
Something like that.
It's always good when they pull the tights.
Then they showed another video.
Oh, wait, you didn't go how they were jumping in the crowd with the troops. And the guys seemed to be just
we
all
don't need,
over.
We don't need to relive this. And
it was a nice moment.
We don't need to relive that. That Candace did a stage dive, was in the crowd.
She did like three times.
Yes, exactly. How they were posing on the middle rope.
Yeah, and then how
Trish had butt cleavage the whole match.
Yes, and then how Maria didn't accept the tag from Candace so she could pose to the troops. A lot of flaws. But good flaws.
It was an entertaining match. I don't know why I enjoyed it.
I felt it was probably for the troops, the most successful night for them.
I think they felt good.
For the men, that is.
At least for the
women
men.
Out there. But then they got their masters.
The whole night is for women, though.
I don't know. You got Chris Masters running around his underwear. I mean, what's that?
Okay. Then they show another video package. They show the troops setting up the ring and preparing for the visit. Then we went to the main event. Something that they've been hyping up the whole night, but they never told us what the hell it was. Shawn Michaels versus Triple H in a boot camp match. What the hell is a boot camp match, Mark?
You don't know. Sergeant Slaughter owns stipulation in which he'd beat you around the ring and he will lose the match. But apparently, Triple H and Shawn Michaels are in this match. And what are you talking about? They was advertising the match the whole night.
Yes, I said they were advertising the boot camp match all night, but they never told us what the rules were.
You don't know what a boot camp match rules are.
You just
didn't tell. No holds bar. I knew this.
They didn't use no weapons.
That yes, looked like no Triple H used the staircase, I think.
Okay, then it's just a hardcore match.
No, because that's called falls count anywhere. It's just no holds bar. They call it a boot camp.
It was just
they was a rally troop.
It was just a cool man to
slaughter
get. At home. Probably still pissed off at Shelton Benjamin.
It's not Slaughter. I'm telling you, it's Doc. Or Malenko. Man of 1,000 holds.
This was probably, I would say, the best match of the night.
Yes, by far. By far.
Because it was the only match that was really a real match, pretty much.
No, the Masters and Cena was a real match. It was okay.
Masters and Cena together in the match is never a real
match. It was okay, but it wasn't worth... It wasn't at the level that
it Shawn wasn't worth the price of admission? The no, cold announcers?
I wouldn't pay to see that main event anytime soon.
Even if John Cena improved his wrestling ability?
I don't care if he got three more different forms of his
even if he turned to a bad guy and took a CD from a kid in the audience and stepped on it and crushed it and handed it back to him?
What do you think? I'm some type of animal?
That's why you had a smirk on your face. Because you would love to see that.
I would like to see him booed. Okay?
All right.
So well, I want to see him drop the title more.
So Michael lands his elbow from the top rope. He starts to tune up the band for Sweet Chin Music. When he attempts it on Triple H, Triple H dunks, gets him in a pedigree. Michaels reverses the pedigree, slingshots him into the exposed turnbuckle, lands Sweet Chin Music. He wins the match.
Which he celebrates. Which is Triple H continue on his losing streak. He's like 3-14 in his last 14 matches.
Triple H hard ain't behind unless he's going for the belt. Then after this match, they show the package, highlighting the entire trip, and that closed out the show. And that was
the tribute to the troops from Afghanistan.
You can't rate the show. You can't say it was a bad show because it was for a good cause.
And you have to be really over there to really know what the show because all of those matches were light, very light, and not really entertaining for the home viewer who isn't in Afghanistan and isn't with the troops and not going what they're doing. It's probably best for them because they walked around and met everybody and all that. It was more of they were there for like the whole.
It was like going time. To WrestleMania and you don't go to the live WrestleMania, but you go to the fan experience the day before.
WWE Access and stuff.
Yeah, so.
But I doubt if you're going to Access, you ain't going to WrestleMania.
Like I said, if I'm in the front and I got a seat and I got to fill up on Trish, Candace, Maria, and Ashley, that was worth my price of admission.
Very worth it.
So that concludes our report. We'll be back with our closing comments, and that'll be about it.
That'll be the end of the show.
We'll be back.
If I met you in a season fight, I'd cut off both your wings.
All right, everybody, we're back. And Marcus is flat, broken, busted, as he just told me, because he won't give me $25 so I could go buy SmackDown versus Raw for the PSP so we can review it on the show.
As reported on the Sharpshooters, Marcus is a poor man. He doesn't have a job. $5, an image.
So if you would like to, never mind. So you have.
So if you would like to support the Marcus Genie Foundation and have any support for the Marcus Genie Foundation, please donate to Sharpshooters.blogspot.com and everybody be like the Grand Finale Rock. All right.
You have any closing comments?
My closing comment is, are we having a year review?
No.
We're not?
No.
Why not? Because there's no SmackDown this week.
You can just talk about it. Well, we can review the SmackDown year review, I guess. I don't know. We'll figure out.
Because we have our top five, which we're doing. Top five wrestlers of 2005, SmackDown and Raw. No TNA because, you know, excluded. We said on last episode because they went around for a whole year.
Okay.
And what are we going to do on the show? It's going to be like 10 minutes.
We'll just do the Raw review. We'll review everything that they review and put some stuff that we feel that they left off if we can review.
So we need email! We really need emails so we have stuff for a show.
So are you finished with your closing comments?
Huh? There's something else I was going to add. I was going to tell you we need a poll question.
I'll do it at the beginning of the year.
What? Have one for the end.
No.
Why are you so lazy this year, at the end of the year? We're going to 2006, man. Where's your holiday cheer? Yeah. This might be the last. No, it's not the last episode of 2006. I'm completely wrong.
We got two more episodes. Three more episodes.
And then Sharpshooters going 06.
Okay.
We're going 06, Eric.
All right.
You ain't got no closing comments.
I have some closing comments. I'm just waiting for you to finish.
I've been finished. I was just seeing, seeing what you was going to say.
Okay, you guys. I'm going to put a plea out there to the fans. If there's any true Marcus or Grand Finale fans out there that really support Marcus, please send him some email. He's really getting bothered by a lot of email that we get in. They agree with me and they support me.
That doesn't bother me.
You know what? Even if you like what I say, put some lies in to make Marcus feel better. You're bruising his ego. Come on, guys. I know.
You're speaking for me.
Dannon, please send your boy an email or something. Make him feel good.
What are you talking about? Because
he takes his aggression out on me. If you guys go back about three episodes ago, he wasn't upset because he couldn't find his software. He was upset because I forgot what he was mad at me about.
I wasn't upset.
He was mad at me Marcus.
I had a lot on my mind.
Yeah, a lot on your mind.
You it had say, nothing to do
you
with
You can
the
say
listening.
You had a lot on your plate because you was eating.
I'm just saying.
So anyway, so an APB goes out all to the Marcus Grand Finale fans out there. Please send Marcus an email praising his greatness.
What are you talking about?
Please.
What are you talking about? I have not complained about seeing actually get a kick. I'm the one that demands hate mail. You don't say I need cheering up. I need some push for my confidence. I'm actually in the right place right now. You know what? I don't need your pity. That's what I'm saying.
He needs your pity.
I don't need... I haven't actually... Why are you asking for positive email for me when I prefer the negative email?
Yeah, you was hurt.
I haven't been
hurt. Andre hurt you.
No, he didn't.
I see the hurt in your face.
I'm not hurt.
Anyway.
It's funny.
I'm tired.
I get a big kick.
I need to go to rest.
I know. You have those pills, man. Been taking those prescription medications, man.
Leave me alone.
You're lucky we don't have a drug policy.
Anyway, I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus. Always cheerful, always the greatest, grand finale.
Please send him mail. We'll see
I
you guys
next week. I don't need mail. We'll see for 30? Is it 30?
No, Mars, we're at 29. It's 28.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
We'll see for 29, the sequel.
Send him mail.
Yeah. No.
All right, bye. Ow!
Gotcha.
Send him mail. You, but that was a stupid chop. I get my chop because you can't be mad at me because I tell people to say
no,
you mail.
I'm chopping no. you because from last week on the show, it really hurted me.
Yeah, but you got me mad. So I get the chop. You come
no,
on.
No.
Come
you
on, Brayson. No.
They can't see. Can't
no,
you just slap your
no,
hand and be like.
No. No. You get your chop because you chopped me for no reason.
Episode 29, the sequel. Oh, God.
See you guys next week.
The sequel.
I'm printing.